You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Gemara in Brachas makes a comment that all of the tefillos and all the brachas and the recitation of Kiddush and Abdullah, everything was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. That was in the beginning, and in the Baisheni period, it consisted of 120 Talmidei Chachamim, Ubehem Kama Nevi'im, and amongst the 120 was several Nevi'im. There weren't too many Nevi'im. The Gemara says that in First Perek and Yuma, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew for day number one that it was going to be Chorif. And this, that says in Tehillim and in Yecheskel, it says that on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told already that when they'll go to Eretz Yisrael and build the Beis HaMikdash, it'll be Chorif. And then Shlomo HaMelech said, Biruach HaKodesh, what's going to be with the second Beis HaMikdash, will that also be Chorev? Will that last till Bias HaMashiach? So he wrote Biruach HaKodesh in Shir HaShir, Memchoyma Hidnivna Lehatiris Kesef, Vimdelasi Notzu Ala Luachores. So the Gemara has, this is not Pshuto Shal Mikra, this is an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. Memchoyma Imyalu Kachoyma, if after the 70 years of Golas Bovel, Yalak HaChayma, all of Klal Yisrael will come back, tons of people will come back to Eretz Yisrael, then the Baisheni will be Nivna Leha Tiras Kesef, will be compared to a metal structure, a castle made from metal, She'ein HaRekab Sholed Bo, metal doesn't rot away. A wooden hut will rot away because of the rain and the snow. The metal doesn't rot. You can drop a bomb and destroy it, but anything less than a bomb is not going to rot by itself. In Delisi, not so lalu wachoros, if it'll be a shvacha aliyah after the 7 years of Golas Bavel, then second Beis HaMikdash shall be like a luach ores, like a wooden bungalow, wooden hut, shaharekeb sholed bo. What do you mean, rekeb sholed bo? It will rot. What will rot? What exactly? So the Gemara understands two levels of rekev, of rotting. One is that the second Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. And secondly, that rat will set in Klal Yisrael. When the Bnei Yisrael do Averis, and when the Rabbani Shalom loves us, he sends us Nevi'im to give us Tochacha, that we should do tshuva and we won't be punished. So the Rabbani Shalom warns them in advance, if it'll be a shvacha aliyah, which it was, after the 7 years of Golas Bavel, there were hundreds of thousands of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, in Bavel, and the only ones that came back, Asori Yuchsim Olami Bavel, is the last Perek in Kiddushin. So the Gemara lists off the Kanim, Levim, Yisraelim, who came back, the Mamzerim, the Chalolim, the Gerim, the Nesinim, the Shvacha Yuchsin. And the Psukim say in Tanakh, it was 40,000 people would change. Not even 50,000 people. There were hundreds of thousands of people in Bavel. Hardly anybody came back. Very small percent, way less than half of the population of the Jews in Bavel came back. So that's what happened. Rekev Sholed Bohem, when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they knew that it was going to be Chorev also, because there was the Shvacha Aliyah after the 70 years of Golas Bavel. And Rekev Rat will set in the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Sheni will be Chorev, and Rekev will set in Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not going to send any Nevi'im. But the Gemara has a Losh of Gimel Nevi'im, Maluim Mohamid Bavel, Chagas Chai Malachi were the three Nevi'im that they had, because if you don't have a Navi, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Even if you can figure out based on archaeology where the Mokum HaMizbeach was, where everything is, you have to have authorization from a Navi. That's a drosha the Sifrei has on the Pasuk and Parshas Re'ei. The Sheikh Nesidushu Uvos HaShoma, you should build the Beis HaMikdash. The Sheikh Nesidushu Drosh Alpi Navi. Tidushu has the Mashmas Alpi Navi. So the Gemara says that there were only three Nevi'im. There should have been many more. There were only three Nevi'im. Each Navi gave a different Nevu about a different aspect of the Binyan Baisheni. That's how the Gemara says. So there were Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, consisted of a body of 120 Chachamim, Bahem Kama Nevi'im, and they composed all of the Brachas, Kiddush Avdolah, all the Tfilas, and so on. Then the Gemara says, "Mikami yelach after the tkufta anshe knesa gdoila, also l'saper b'shvocha shalmakam." You're not allowed to compose your own tefillas because you may not know what you're talking about. You have to have a koach hanavua in order to compose a tefillah. And the Gemara gives a mashal ma'adavadayma. The farmer has no hasaga of wealth. So the farmer, hillbilly, he brought up on a farm all his life. So he says, the king is so wealthy, he has $100 in his bank account. $100, my great-grandchildren have already $100 in their bank account. They were just born. They probably, I guess they probably have already $100 from Matonis. $100 is nothing. But you have to have a koach hanavua to know what's acceptable to say a shevach. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk, "Mi yamal gvoros Hashem, who has the right to praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu, yashmiel kol tehilosei." Only the one who knows how to say proper shevach. You have to have a koach hanavua to know what's a proper shevach. That's why all the piyutim are questionable. We compose our own piyutim to praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So one of the piyutim that we say every week, Anim Zmiris. After we finish Anim Zmiris, we say the last pasuk is Mi Mal Gvos Hashem Yashmiel Kol Tehilosei. It's like the businessman talking business on Shabbos. I'm interested in selling my factory. How much are you willing to pay Nishtam Shabbos Geret? The other one says he's prepared to pay so much. He's prepared to pay so much Nishtam Shabbos Geret. Nishtam Shabbos Geret doesn't make it mutter. You're not allowed to talk about business. That's what we say. We say up, mizokta up a ganze piyut. Then we say, mimal gvos Hashem, ashmir kol tehilosei. It's not really right that we're saying shevach takodesh baruch hu. You probably don't know what we're talking about. We're probably saying silly things because you have to have a koach hanavua in order to know what's acceptable, what you may say, what you may not say. That's mimal gvos Hashem, ashmir kol tehilosei. That's why here and there in the city you have a few brochas that were composed after the days of the Gemara, way after the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The women say the Brocha Shalsani Kirtzono, or Anoisan Yoav Koyach also, or the Rosh in the beginning of Ksubis quotes from the days of the Goinim, that when someone gets married to a girl for the first time and he finds a Besulim, so they go in and compose the Nusach HaBrocha that you recite. So we don't say that Brocha today because the Rosh has tainus. It wasn't composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. It was composed in the days of the Goinim. It's not right to compose your own Brochas after the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So the Gemara says not only you have to have Koach HaNevuah to know what to say, what not to say, you have to know how to read Nevi'im Uksuvim to be able to know how many units you can have in a tefillah. Like we daven Amidah, when we stand up, we daven the Shmone Esrei. Shmone Esrei, because it used to be 18 brachas, and then they made it 19. So the Gemara says when they made 18 brachas, it was based on a perek in Tehillim, the Hashem Hashem 18 times. So you see a source in Tanakh, you have a right to compose to offer a tefillah that has 18 parts. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah composed the Shmone Esrei. Then when they wanted to add the 19th bracha, so they found a mokum in that perek that there's a 19th time Shem Hashem is mentioned. It's a different Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Ein Shem, Shein Nimchokim, seven proper nouns that are names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they said you can have 18 or 19. When you have a Tainis Tzibur and the Chazan says the Chazor Sashatz by Mincha, so he would add on six additional brachas to the 18, and he has some total of 24. 18 is 6 is 24. So there was a mokum in Tanakh for a tefillah with 24 units. There's a mokum in Tanakh on Shabbos and Yom Tov, only said the Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achrayinus. First three brachas and the last three brachas. Then we have one bracha in the middle on the Kedusha Sayyayim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So they found a mokum in Tanakh for a tefillah with seven units, with seven parts. On Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says you should really say 10 brachas. This says in the piyutim that we say on Rosh Hashanah, the following. You should really have said 10 brachas. Gimel Rishon is Gimel Achrayinus is 6. One bracha in the middle for the Kedushas Hayoim, Lakhan Shabbos Hayantah, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikoren, like Mekadosh HaShabbos, Mekadosh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, there should be seven. Then Malchus Chayin and Shofar be another three. So three, three, and three, and one is 10. Should really be 10. So the Gemara said, there's no makom in Tanakh that you have a right to compose a tefillah with 10 units. There's a makom for 9 units, tefillah schana. The Shem Hashem appears 9 times. So all the Tanaim are working on the premise, you have to take 10 themes and combine two of them together, so you'll only have 9 brachas instead of having 10, because there's no makom for 10. You have to have Alpi Nevi'im, Kufchop, Zikenim, Ubehem, Kamenim, you have to have Nevi'im to compose the Nusach. Otherwise, you may not know what you're talking about. You say silly things, and you have to have the ability to read Nevi'im Uksuvim to figure out how many units can your tefillah have. So there's no tefillah in Tanakh with 10 units, there's a tefillah with 9 units. So the Tanoim are all the 3 Shitas in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Tanoim are all working on this. Which 2 brachas should you combine together? Usually we have a klal, enos mitzvos chavilas chavilas. You're not allowed to abridge. Let's say a person comes in late to shul shachris. He has to say the 15 brachas hashachar. So he'll abridge it. He'll say baruch atah Hashem lekein malcho olam. And those in the sechman have chayim alayla shloas anigoy b'shloas aniyabed shloas anish. He'll say shem and malchus once and say all the 15 themes. So Gemara says he can't do that. And we paskan even b'di'ebed. You're not yotze all the 15 brachas. Yotze the first bracha that you said. Those in the sechavina yotze the first one. But shloas aniyoy shloas aniyabed b'keachib mal b'sharum matar asurim. You're not yotze the others because this is a din even b'di'ebed. And Chosman Bishtaim, you're not allowed to combine 2 things together. But once in a while, you do combine 2 together. Take, for example, Yantab Shechol Yes Bishab. So there's Machlokes Bisham and Misilo, and the Brisa in the second parak and Beitza. What do you say in the Shmona Esrei? So Bisham, I say that you say 8 brachas. Gimel Bishan is Gimel Achroines. Then you say Bracha Be'emtza, 1 Bracha Mekadesh on Shabbos, and 1 Bracha Mekadesh Israel the Hasmanim, because both Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can't combine together Shabbos and Yom Tov, they have nothing to do with each other. So you have to say 2 brachas, 1 bracha for Shabbos, 1 bracha for Yom. We don't paskan like Beishama, we paskan like Beisilo. So we blend together Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Gemara says in brachas, Daf Mem Tes, that's the one and only exception to the rule that usually the klal is in chos mishnayim. You're not allowed to combine 2 themes together in 1 bracha. And that's based on the idea, you know, so mitzvahs, chavilas, chavilas, shouldn't try to get rid of the mitzvahs by doing mass production, doing them quickly. Each bracha should have its own shem and malchus. This is one and only exception to the rule. Semikaresh ha-shabbos v'yisrael v'hazmanim. The Gemara says, why is it an exception to the rule? How come you're allowed to combine together the bracha k'dushas hayom of Shabbos, the bracha k'dushas hayom of Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, because it's really one. What does that mean that it's one? So if you look on the side of the Rif, they have different rishonim there on the gilyan on the side of the Rif. So it sounds like it's a fundamental machlokes in the rishonim. Why is that taka the exception to it? Why can you combine 2 together? So one sheet in Rishonim seems to be that when you have Yom Tov, Shechalias B'Shabbos, it's one new Kedusha Sayyam of Shabbos hyphen Yom Tov. It's not that it's Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Tov superimposed on top of Kedusha Shabbos and Ha'iluchu Dekoy and Ha'iluchu Dekoy, like Bechamel, the 2 different Kedusha Sayyam on a day. It's Shabbos, Kedusha Shabbos is Kvir V'Kayma from Sheshes and Me'Bereshes, by Baruch HaLekim HaSham HaShvei, by Kadosh Oysa, so the day has Kedusha Shabbos. And then, Bezin decides when Rosh Chodesh should be. So in Mele, you'll know when Yom Tov is going to be, when Rosh Hashanah, when Yom Kippur is going to be, when Sukkot, and so on. So the 2 different Kedusha Sayyams, so each one needs its own bracha. So Beishama, I am not bothered with this kasha. You have no mokar in Tanakh for a tefillah with 8 units. Somehow they can live without a mokar in Tanakh. But Beis Hillel disagreed with Beis Shammai. and they say you can combine together. So Shad is why. The Gemara says, achasi, because it's one. What does it mean? So if you look on the side of the Rif, they seem to have two explanations in Shita's Basilo. Why did they allow you to combine? So some Mishanim seem to hold that just like there's a Kedusha Shabbos, and there's a Kedusha Siyontev, and there's a Kedusha Shresh Chodesh, and we say Tfilas accordingly, that the Kedusha of Shabbos hyphen Yontev, Shabbos hyphen Rosh Chodesh. When you have two together, Shabbos together with Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos together with Yontev, they blend in together to be one new kind of Kedusha. So it's Achasi, the Gemara is Shaini Hocha Achas, it's really one hyphenated Kedusha Hayyim of Yontev Shecholiyas B'Shabbos, and the other Rishonim seem to hold, no, you really should have said eight brachas. Really, Bishama is right. But you can't have eight brachas because no source in Tanakh. You have to combine two together. So he picked the two that are most similar, that are most related to each other. So it has to have a shaychas with each other. They're both the bracha of Shabbos and the bracha of Rosh Chodesh, the bracha of Shabbos, bracha of Yontev, deal with Kedushas Hayayim. And you can't have a Shmon Esrei, you can't have an Amidah with eight units. You only have a Sos and Tanakh for seven. So you pick the two that are most similar, and you combine them together. So that's the Machlokes in Rishonim. That has Rav Soloveitchik. There seem to be Nafkaminis Ledina and that also. Let's say the Gemara says, one who forgets to say Yalav Yovei and benching Amish Chodesh, or Chalamai doesn't have to repeat the Shmona Esrei because Birchas Hamazon doesn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon because you're not allowed to have a Tainus on Rosh Chodesh and on Chalamai. But you're not mechuyev to have a Suda with Pas. There's no Chiyev Suda. There's a Chiyev Suda on Shabbos, on Yontov. So if you forget, we'd say Yalav Yavai, you were Yotze the Benchin. You weren't Yotze the Mitzvah of Suda Shabbos or Suda Yontov. In order to be Yotze in the Mitzvah of Suda, you have to have Kiddush in the beginning and Yalav Yavai, or it say at the end, and the meal is sandwiched in between the Haskar and the Kiddush and the Haskar and the benching. That's what labels the Suda as the Suda Shabbos, Suda Yontov. So one forgets would say Yalav Yavai, he was Yotze the benching. He wasn't Yotze the Suda. So, but he ate so much, you're going to tell him to eat another Suda. Make sure this time that you say Yalav Yavai, make sure you don't forget what you say the second time. So the Chachamim were makel that we allow him to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. We don't consider it a Bracha Levatola. He already benched. It was Yotze the benching already. We don't consider it a Bracha Levatola. He's allowed to repeat the benching in order to be Kaveh the Suda as the Suda Shabbos Suda Yantar. So that's only by Medvar Momorim on Shabbos Yantar when there's a Chiyab Suda. But on Chalamayim and Rosh Chodesh, there's an Issa Tainis. But you don't have to have a whole meal with Pas. You would have had some tuna fish or some melon, watermelon, fruit. Nini Tagima, it wouldn't be a Tonis and it wouldn't be a Suda. But you wouldn't be Oivan the Issa Tainis. So if you would have had a tuna fish, you wouldn't mention Rosh Chodesh and Bar Nefashis. You don't mention Rosh Chodesh. You don't mention anything there. You don't mention Chalamayim. So the shaila is, what if it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh and the person benches and he said Ritzei, but he didn't say Yalav Yavai. So if he say Kedushas Rosh Chodesh is Lachud, the Kedusha Shabbos is Lachud, and the Kedusha Rosh Chodesh is superimposed on top of the Kedusha Shabbos. So if you forgot Yalav Yavai, there's not a problem. But if you say that, like the other Rishonim, that it seems to blend in, it's a new Kedusha Sayyim of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh hyphenated, then the Mechayev to eat the Suda is not only Shabbos, it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, because they blend in together. So then the Tur had a machlokes with his brother, Ben Yechiel, Ben Arosh. If one said Ritzei on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh and didn't say Yalav Yavai, so the Ben Yechiel holds you have to bench over. It's Makam. So it sounds like that's the machlokes, whether Rosh Chodesh Cholias B'Shabbos or Chalamoid Cholias B'Shabbos, is it one big Kedusha Sayyim? So you have to mention Yalav Yavai LeYikuva, because Shabbos Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos Chalamoid hyphenated is what was Machayiv in the Suda, so you have to mention both. And the Tur disagrees, and we follow the Tur, that if one forgets Yalav Yavai, for Rosh Chodesh or for Chol HaMoed, you don't have to bench over. If he said Vitzei, he just forgot Yavid, he wouldn't have to bench over again. So that seems to be a machlokes. So I'll call upon him here. All the Tanoim seem to be agreeing. There are three shittas in the Tanoim. How do you take the 10 themes that should have really been expressed in 10 different brocha? How do you make them into 9? Which two are you going to combine together? So there was the three way machlokes HaTanoim, which two you combine together. Rabbi Akiva with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and there was a third shita, another Tanoim. So the third shita, hardly anybody ever held like that. We don't have any communities, but they really said like that for a long time. I think Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Shim Gamliel, I forget, it's on an Omer Aleph in the end of Rosh Hashanah. So the third Tana says that just like on every Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have the Shmon Esri has 7 brochas. And when you say Kedushas Hayayim, the middle one, you have Gimel Shanis, Gimel Achronis, and the middle brocha is the 7th brocha. So you say Kedushas Hayayim in the middle. So on Rosh Hashanah also, you have Malchus Chuenu Shofris. Yeah, Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Acharonis, Malchus Chuenu Shofris. So you should put Kedushas Hayayim together with, in the middle, together with Zachronis. Even though there's no connection, what's the connection between Zachronis and Kedushas Hayayim? Azai. Just like on every Shabbos, Kedushas Hayayim is Be'emtza, so Rosh Hashanah also Be'emtza. So the Gemara never records that there were any Kehillahs where they followed that sheet. But the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva, that was an ongoing debate. And Yerushalmi says that in the Galil, the minhag for many years was like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that you combine together Malchias, the Kedushas Hashem, at the Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh, because you're going to end off HaMelech HaKodesh. We changed the Nusach, HaMelech HaKodesh. So you already had Malchias there. I think the one who says, he said, Melech HaKodesh, I think in the Gemara, it's Rav. I think it's one of the Amoraim. But it could be that in the days of the Tanaim, they said, Melech HaKodesh, instead of Akel HaKodesh. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, when you should include Malchias in the Brocha of Malchias should be in the Brocha of Kedushas Hayayim. Then the 4th Brocha should be, excuse me, Malchus should be in the Brach of Kedushas Hashem, Ato Kodesh Hashem HaKodesh, instead of ending off HaKel HaKodesh, end off HaMelech HaKodesh, the whole Aseret Meitshuva. And then you put the whole theme of Malchus there with all the Pesukim. And then you have, after that Bracha, HaMelech HaKodesh, but the Malchus, then you say Brach of Kedushas Hayayim, Kodesh Yisrael V'Yam HaZikaron, and then you have Zechronis and Shofres. This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And we don't follow that sheet. We follow Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, the Gimel Rishonis, you don't touch, you don't change them. The Gimel Achronis, you don't change. And in the middle, you have the 3 brochas, Malchus, Chuenu, Shofres, in that order. And every Yontiv has a main theme. Like on Pesach, the main theme is that it's Mancher Reseinu. And on Shavuos, we say it's Man Matan Tereseinu. So Rosh Hashanah is the Yoim HaDin, HaKadosh Baruch is judging the whole world. That's what Malchus is all about. So these 2 brochas can be combined together. They're not so far apart. Malchias means HaKadosh Baruch is judging the whole world. And the brocha of Kedushas Hayayim, the theme of Rosh Hashanah, this HaKadosh Baruch is the Melech. We're Mamlechem. Rosh Hashanah is a day of coronation. That's one of the 10 kavanas that the Rav Sadia Gaon has. A lot of Machzorim quote 10 kavanas from Rav Sadia Gaon. One of them is, when they appoint a new king in any country, so they blast trumpets. So we bless the shofar on Rosh Hashanah because we're Bekabal Malchusa. We're coronating the Rebbe Shalom. Rav Soloveitchik was brought up in a Lubavitcher community as a young child. He was born in Chaslavich. That was his father was a Rebbe there. So he said that the whole community was a Lubavitcher community. So he said they used to refer to Rosh Hashanah as the night, the evening of coronation. They're coronating. We human beings are accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech over us. So that's Rabbi Kivishit, and that's what we say. We combine together Malchias with the Brocha Kedushas Hayayim, because Malchias is the theme of the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. So it makes sense that these two combine together. So it's interesting. It's interesting that the Mishnah records an argument that Rabbi Akiva argued Rabbi Yechem Anuri. Rabbi Yechem Anuri says he put Malchias together with HaKadosh and Shem HaKadosh because he's going to end off a Melech HaKadosh. So Malchias is connected with the Kedushas Hashem. But it's part of the Gimel Rishonis. And the Gimel Rishonis, the Gemara says, you shouldn't add any bakoshes. You shouldn't add bakoshes. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. That, take for example, the Rambam's opinion is that the tefillah is deraisa. The Gemara always says tefillah is only the Rabbanan, that's why you have a lot of kulas. So the Rambam says, yeah, the fact that we say three times, we daven three times a day, sometimes four times a day, Shabbos and Yom Tov, five times a day, Yom Kippur, you say Ne'ilah, so you say five tefillahs in one day. That's Midirabbanan, but one tefillah that you have to daven in a Torah. One tefillah once a day, that's the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs in Hilchas Tefillah. One tefillah a day is the Raisa. And then the Rambam says also the particular text of the tefillah, Nusach Lakein, Lakei Avisena, Lakei Avraham, Lakei Yitzchak, Lakei Yaakov, the text of the tefillah is only with the Rabbanim. And a Torah can say anything you want, but it has to have the following framework. You have to start with Shevach, Yodam Esadu Adam Shvach HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, V'achach Kach Yispalel. So Derech Eretz dictates that you should start off with Shevach and end off with Hoidoya, Moedim Anachna Loch, and then the middle part has the bakoshes. The essence of the tefillah is really bakoshes. But it's not Derech Eretz, just to knock on the door and the Ribbono Shel Olam answer the door. We say, I need this, I need that. Derech Eretz dictates you have to introduce your bakoshes with a Shevach, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little bit. You have to conclude with a Hidoya. We thank you for everything that you gave us in the past. But the essence of the tefillah is really the Bakosha Sarochim in the middle. That's what Moshe Feinstein asks in the Igros Moshe when the government was discussing, the American government was discussing the possibility of introducing prayers in the public school system. The Moshe wrote a tshuva, is it a good idea or is it a bad idea? There are Jewish children who go to public school. So is it a good idea, a bad idea to have prayer? So part of what Rav Moshe writes is, he raises the question, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we leave out the whole middle part. We leave out the 13 brochas, all about koshes, because the Novi Yeshaya speaks about Shabbos, for Karosa the Shabbos Oneg, the Kedosh Hashem Mechubot, and says, Memtzocha Fotzecha V'daber Dover. On Shabbos, we shouldn't talk about business. Even if you're going to add on Nishtam Shabbos Geret, you're not allowed to talk about business. The Daba Dova means Shalohei Dibucha Shal Shabbos Ki Dibucha Shal Chol. What does it mean Shalohei Dibucha? So Rashi interprets Shalohei Dibucha Shal Shabbos. You shouldn't talk about business. Tosfos says that's the same as Mimpsocha Fatzecha. You shouldn't talk business. So what he needed repeated the Daba Dova, that you shouldn't talk about business. Tosfos has a different shot. That means you're not allowed to talk Sicha B'Teila on Shabbos. Stop to chatter, to hakachainik, to say narishkeit. And the Gemara has a loshen, b'koishi hitiru shelo shon m'shabbos, to greet someone, to say, have a good n'shabbos, that's also dvar m'telem. You're not saying anything of tochen. So because the Chachamim felt that you have to allow that. People should greet each other, have a good n'shabbos, have a nice day. Sure. B'koishi hitiru shelo shon m'shabbos. But otherwise, sicha b'tele is awesome. The common practice is that Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi that one of the Tanoim, I think Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai, had an old mother who was a chatterbox. She was always chattering. So on Shabbos, when she would hakachainik, he would try to turn her down to quiet her a little bit. She shouldn't talk so much sicha b'teila. So, but if your parent is doing something improper, you're not allowed to give him tochacha. You have to give tochacha, but you have to give it derech eretz. You can't pop him over the head and say, you're violating the din of daba dova. So he would try to explain to his mother, today is Shabbos and you shouldn't talk so much. More proper is you shouldn't talk so much. But so the common practice is that everybody talks sicha b'teila on Shabbos. Everybody talks sicha b'teila. So one of the Gedolim, there's a Tshuva Sefer written by a nephew of Rav Chaim Valojina. I think it's called, the author's name is Rabbeinu Simcha. his first name. I think this is the name Sefer Simcha Shal Mitzvah or something like that. It was reprinted about 50 years ago. So someone gave me a copy of the tshuva. It has a whole tshuva about this. Why does everybody talk Sicha B'Teila on Shabbos? So his maskana is that we don't paskan like Tosis. You are permitted to talk Sicha B'Teila on Shabbos, and Rashi is right. But that's not proper. Shulchan Aruch said you shouldn't talk Sicha B'Teila on Shabbos. So included in Dabba Dover also is that you should daven differently. You're not allowed to daven tefillas chol b'Shabbos. Let's say a woman bench licht already on Erev Shabbos, and she didn't daven mincha yet. So Rabbi Kaveger on the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Prima Godim that you're not allowed to daven mincha shol chol. Once you become on Shabbos, you're not allowed to say chaneni mitcha de'abinim haska. You're not allowed to say all about koshes. All about koshes are tachanunim. You're not supposed to say tchinas on Shabbos. A lot of people, let's say, in Lechot Doidi, on Leil Shabbos, Lechon Neranano, so they won't say, what's the tchina there? Right before Lechot Doidi, there's a tchina. What do we say? Ana b'chayach, tate tzururo. The whole thing is full of tchinas. So a lot of people hold you're not allowed to say that on Shabbos. On Shabbos in the morning, if they say, "Agamal chasam tamal amisol," yiratzan shetatzileni hayam v'chol yam azay panim yazus panim. Many hold you're not allowed to say that. That's a tchina. On a lot of shuls, I think it's a pretty common minig. When yontif falls out on Shabbos and yeduchen, so you don't say the tefillah for the chaloimus. You say right away v'chunecha. The Kohanim don't give the Tzibur a chance to say the Trina for the Chaloimus, but it's a Trinus. You're not allowed to say Trinus on Shabbos. Then the Tzibur has a whole tshuva to defend the meaning of Aloshin. The meaning of Aloshin was that they did say the Tfilah for the Chaloimus even on Shabbos. So he claims that that's included in what it says in the Yerushalmi. Whatever's in the middle of the Shemana Esrei, whatever Trina is usually recited, middle of the Shemana Esrei, you're allowed to add it even on Shabbos. You're allowed to add it even when Yom Tov is Chol Yis B'Shabbos, because that's part of the Nusach HaTfilah. Okay. But there are many shuls, you don't say the Tchina for the Chalaimis, because the Abadob is Lehei Dibuchan Shal Shabbos Ki Dibuchan Shal Chol. So according to Rabbi Yechon Ben Uri, that you say Malchias together with Atta Kodesh V'Shimcha Kodesh, he didn't say the last paragraph, though. The framework of each one of the three brachas, Malchus Manushef, is the same. I'll explain. This is all from Absolvechik. Everything I said so far, Absolvechik. So he pointed out the Rambam lists off what he considers the 13 Ikori HaAmuna. That's a historical problem. Why did the Rambam pick these as 13? There are more Ikori HaMuna. The Rambam doesn't count the Bechira Chavshas. It's self-understood. He counts Schar B'Yonesh. If you don't have Bechira Chavshas, it doesn't make sense that there should be Schar B'Yonesh. When I was born, I had like a computer set up in my mind. That's how the psychologists say that there is no such thing as Bechira Chavshas. It's already set up. What kind of a girl I'm going to marry, what kind of a job I'm going to do, what kind of community I'm going to live in, everything is all the decisions are made already. No such thing as Bechira Chavshe. That's what most of psychology is apikursis. They don't believe in Bechira Chavshe. So why don't the Rambam count the Bechira Chavshe? Messi holds that that's included in Schar B'Yonesh. So you could have included a lot of the Yikorim and other Yikorim. So that's questionable. It's a question. Why did the Rambam pick on these 13? So Rabbi Yosef Albo came after the Rambam, Sfardish Talmud Chochem. He thinks that basically there are three Ikori Amuna. The 13 of the Rambam can be abridged. They're basically three. And the three are Malchias, Achronis, and Shoifas. Malchias, we believe that there is a God in the world who's in complete control of everything in the world. And he's a good God. And then Zechrinus means HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's happening, and he has the ability to intervene, and he punishes Zechrinus. He punishes the people of Dvaveris, and he rewards the people of do mitzvahs. And Shofaris means that there is communication between man and God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives nevuah, so we believe there is such a thing as nevuah. We live in a generation now that there's no nevuah. We said before, Shlomo HaMelech said, Baruch HaKadosh, what's going to be after he built the Bais Rishon, he knew it was going to be Chorev. Then he said, what's going to be with the Bais Sheni, without be Chorev or not? So he said, Imdelesi notzolalu achorez. If there'll be a Shvacha Aliyah in the beginning of the Bais Sheni Tkufa, then it'll be like a wooden hut, luach ores, that wooden bungalows rot away. They rot from the rain and from the snow. They rot away. So rot will set in the second Beis HaMikdash, it'll be Chorev, and rot will set in. And Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not going to send any Nevi'im. So we live in a Tkufa HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, is punishing us. Why in the beginning of Bais Sheni, the Frum Yidden didn't want to come back to Eretz Yisrael, only the Gerim, the Mamzerim, the Chalolim, and the Nesidim, all the Shvacha Yuchsin, Asor Yuchsin, Olami Bavel, the real Miuchosim didn't come back. And the Gemara says that the Jews who lived in Bavel wouldn't be Mishadach with the Jews from Eretz Yisrael, because the Jews in Bavel had the better Yichas, Jews from Eretz Yisrael, all descendants from the Gerim, the Chalolim, and the Mamzerim, and the Nesidim. And Reb Chiya came from Bavel to learn by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had a daughter. He wanted Rabbi Chiya to meet the daughter. So Rabbi Chiya didn't want to, because Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was from Eretz Yisrael. They had a lower level of yuchsin. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said, "My Torah is kosher. My daughter is puzzle. You listen to my shiurim. That's okay, but you don't want to meet my daughter." And he didn't say anything. Yeah, that was the answer. The Torah is kosher, and your daughter it may be puzzle. They had a lower level of yuchsin. So Rabbi Yosef Albo in his Sefer Ikarim, he said that basically there are three Ikarim. There's Malchus, Luchanus, and Shofis. Malchus means that there is a Borei Olam and he's in full control of everything in the world and he still follows what's up. So Luchanus, he knows everything that's happening and he rewards the Tzaddikim and he punishes the Rishon. And Shofis means that the Kiya Shofar often implies that when there's Gilu Shechina, when there's Amayman Hasina, there was Kiya Shofar because there was Gilu Shechina. And Lo said, Lo, there's going to be Gilu Shechina. So we say, Tkab Shofar God Lechevisenu. The Shofar is going to announce the coming of Mashiach and the Gulu Hasida and so on. So Shofar means that there can be, we live in a generation where there's no communication. Kodesh Baruch doesn't give any nevuah. Pirmei Yisrael is angry at Bnei Yisrael. But Tfilah is the same ikar. So they said Tfilah is the same ikar as nevuah. Nevuah means how Kodesh Baruch can communicate with man. Tfilah, man can communicate with the Kodesh Baruch. We daven and Baruch Shalom is listening. He talks to people, and that's called nevuah. So it's both directions. He gives us nevuah, and we can offer Tfilahs. So the three Ikori Hamuna were Malchus, Chuan, and Shofas. So on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara said, we say the Pir, Hayom Harasalam, today is the birthday of the world. What do you mean the birthday of the world? It's the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereshis. Adam Bereshis was created on the sixth day. Why is that? Hayom Harasalam should have been the first day. So the answer is that the first day, the first 5 days, were all prehistoric. There was no human being there to watch it. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells us what happened, what he created the first day, the second day, the third day. But that was prehistoric. There were no human beings. The first day of history where there was a human being to see it was the Yom HaShishi. So that's why we say Hayom Tchilas Maaseva. So on the same day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, the Gemara said he didn't create him as a little baby. Who's going to take care of the baby? He created him like a fully grown adult. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the trees, they were like, from day number one, they were 1,000 years old. They were all created b'tzivyonim. They were all created in full size. And when we created the animals came out from the earth. So he created a fully grown, v'sita v'ashem mishor par. The Gemara says, shor par is the shoro, the first shor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created was created fully grown adult shor, and it was able to function on its own. It wasn't like a little calf that needs the nurse from the mother, and it can't do anything on its own. So the first day, that's how the Medrash Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar, the Ramban quotes at Pirkei D'Rabbi Elazar, the first day that Adam Rishon was created, he was instructed by Tzav Hashem Elokim al Adam. Kodesh Baruch Hu educated him, the Kori Hamuna, and he told them the six mitzvahs. There were seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, but in the days of Adam Rishon, there were only six, because Adam Rishon had to be a vegetarian. It was only permissible after the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted Noach to eat flesh, because Noach was instrumental in saving all the behemoths in the Teva, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted him to eat flesh. But Kolzman that Adam Rishon had to be a vegetarian, till the days after the Mabul, till Noach, that was 10 generations later, so there was no Shaila of Eivim and Achai. Eivim and Ameis was also awesome. After Noach saved the behemoth by the Mabul, then he was given the mitzvah not to eat Eivim and Achai. That's how the Rambam says. Six mitzvahs were given to Adam Rishon, and then the seventh one was given later. So Adam Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught, and then the same day he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, that was only Hayro Hashoah. The other six mitzvahs, Ben Enoch, Birchas Hashem, Gezel, Dinim, and Arayas, and so on, all the others were Dinim L'Doris. All the six Dinim of Ben Enoch were L'Doris. The one Hayro Hashoah was only Osir, that's what the Ramban quotes in Medrash, was only Osir to eat from the Eitz Hadas that day, if he would have waited till Leil Shabbos. A few hours, it would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Adam Rishon didn't have enough self-control to wait till Leil Shabbos. To wait till Leil Shabbos to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he was punished. So the...
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
So on Rosh Hashanah, we review these three Ikori Hamuna, Malchus, Wen, and Shofes, because these were revealed to Adam Rishon on the first day, Zayam Tchilas Masecha. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of when Adam Rishon was created. That's the sixth day of Sheshes and Bereshis, when he was told all the Ikori Hamunah. So basically, there are three Ikori Hamunah. These three. Malchus, Chayin, and Shofes. So on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, so Shai, the words on Asmachta, real din. We'll try to get to that a little later. Adin deraisa, just an asmachta. So so we recite Malchus on the Shabbos. So there are three parts to each one of the brachas the same. The first paragraph, we state the principle of faith, Ikir and Emunah, that we believe. We believe in Malchus, we believe in Zechonis, we believe in Shofes. Then we say, how do you know when something is a fact? If it says in Tanakh, then you know that it's a fact. So we have, let's say, when you quote Psukim from Tanakh, you know that that is true. Maybe I'm quoting a pasuk out of context. Maybe that's not what it means. So the Chachamim, so there's one sheet that we say, one pasuk from Torah, one pasuk from Ksuvim, one pasuk from Nevi'im, that'll be sufficient. We say that you have to have three psukim. Maybe you're misquoting, maybe you're quoting one pasuk out of context, where you're saying three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Nevi'im, three psukim from Ksuvim. So you've proven your point. Probably it's highly improbable that all the three psukim that we quoted were all taken out of context. So we've proven the point. So that's the idea of the nine psukim out of the ten. Then the third part of each one of Malchus and Shofes is that you have a bakosha, because in the middle of brachas of the Shemana Esrei, that's where Moshe Feinstein wrote, how are you yotzei the chiyuv tefillah on Shabbos Yontev? The Rambam said that the chiyuv tefillah there is once a day, every day, but the chiyuv tefillah is to start off with shevach, end off with hoidoya. In the middle is the bakosha. That's the essence of the tefillah, the middle bracha. So if Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not going to have any bakoshas in the middle, so you're not yotzei tefillah deraisa. So Moshe says the final paragraph, these are all ruchnistic bakoshas. On the weekdays, we ask for refuah, we ask for parnosah, ala malshinim, ala tzaddikim, we need Mashiach. So we say all gashmis dika bakoshes. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we only end off with ruchnis dika bakoshes. So that's the final paragraph on Shabbos. It says, B'nu Choseinu, accept our observance of Shabbos, ta'alabenu li'ovdecha be'emes, and so on. And same in Malchus Chayne Shofes, the concluding paragraph in Malchus starts, Kevin Kevin Seinu, Melocha Kol Ha'olam Kula Bichvaydecha, please bring the day that you'll be, your Malchus will be accepted by all the nations of the world. And Zechariah said, okay, we're saying, Zechariah is the current of Lafanacha. Today's the Yom Adin, so please, you remember everything. Please remember us, Lutoiva, today. And then Shofar also end off with the Bakash, okay, we're saying, Kabi Shofar God, Lachay, we're saying, means bring Mashiach and Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be visible and there should be a Gilu Shechina. This is Ruchni Zdeka Bakashas. So according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, that you combine Malchus with Atukodesh Hashem HaKadosh, so that's in the Gimel Rishonis. So the Gemara says in the Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, you're not supposed to add any Tchinis. You're not supposed to add any Tachanunim. So according to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, you don't have the third part of Malchus. You only have the first part. You state the principle of Emunah. We believe that the day will come that all nations of the world will recognize the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we prove Devos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that should be enough with three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Ksuvim, and three psukim from Nevi'im. What do you need the 10th pasuk for? So the 10th pasuk in each one of the three brachas is really to be mechazik the bakosha. We offer a bakosha, melechol kolon kula bichvaydecha, or we say, and then we say, because you promised us in the Chumash that that's going to happen. You promised us, you told us years ago there's going to be, the day will come and then all of mankind will recognize Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we ask about Kosh and we say, fulfill the promise, fulfill the words that you told us. So that's the purpose of the 10th pasuk. The 9th pasuk came out to indicate that the Ikar and Emunah is authentic, that it's correct. That was our custom of Torah. Shonim Avim, Shulash, Baksuvim. We quote the 3 pasuk from Torah, 3 from Nevi'im, 3 from Ksuvim. The 10th pasuk really belongs to the Bakosha at the end. Rav Soloveitchik, when he would deliver this talk, so it was a big audience of Rabbonim and other people, say, so who is about Tfilah? So he said, he gave a machzer, so he said, what's the nigun? So the 10th pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Sirachso Kosalim Shema Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, ay, 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 ay. So he said, wrong. He's supposed to sing ay, ay, ay after the 9th pasuk. Because Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu belongs to the Bakosha. Melocho Kolam Kulu Bechvedecha. So you should pause after the 9th pasukim. And then you say the 10th, you really should have said the 10th pasuk in the final paragraph. In Zechronis and Shofes, the 10th pasuk doesn't appear right after the 9th pasukim. It's different. Zechronis and Shofes, the 10th pasuk appears in the middle of the Bakosha. We offer a Bakosha, we say, fulfill what you promised us. The day will come that it's going to be Kabbashah for God, like every Seinu. Or fulfill the promise that you told us. Remember us, L'Tovim. The Rishonim explains, so how come in Malchus you have the 10th pasuk right after the first 9? So they say because you're combining together Malchus, that we follow Rabbi Akiva. We don't follow Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. So we follow Rabbi Akiva, so we combine Malchus with the Brocha An, Kedusha Sayyim. So Malchus is, so to speak, a guest in the Brocha. The Brocha is basically the Brocha of Kedusha Sayyim, like on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when there are only 7 Brochas in the Shemona Esrei. So the 4th bracha really should be Kedusha Sayyam, but we put in Malchus into that bracha. So since it's a guest, so it's not right for the guest to take over. So that's why we don't say the pasuk Shema Yisrael in the middle of the Bakosha. We say the 10th pasuk after the first 9 psukim. But really it belongs to the Bakosha at the end. So that's where Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri holds that when you say Malchus together with Kedushas Hashem, and after Kodesh Hashem HaKodesh, you say then, you're not going to combine it later. So he says, you don't blow shofar. what's that deal of blowing shofar in the middle of Chazoras Hashatz? So the idea is like the Ramban writes this. The idea, Ramban the Mochamas on the bottom of the Rif, he says on a Tainis Tzibur, when the Chazan would say the Chazoras Hashatz by Mincha, he would add six additional brachas. That's what Gemara gives a mocker. The Shmona Esrei had 18 brachas, and you added six, is some total of 24. And the Gemara gives a mocker that you have the right to compose a tefillah the 24 parts. So after each one of the six additional brachas on the Tainis Tzibur, the Baal Tekeh would blow the Chatzotze. They would blow Tkiya, Shvarim, Tkiya, Tkiya, Shvarim, Tkiya, after each one. What's the idea of blowing shofar in the middle of Shmona Esrei? Well, so they should point it out. If you're going to shake a lulav in the middle of Shmona Esrei, even if you don't say a word, that's a hefsek. In Mekayim, a different mitzvah in the middle of Shmona Esrei, Tognish. If you blow shofar in the middle of Shmona Esrei, it's not a hefsek. Let's say you'll blow shofar in the middle of Hallel. If it ever happens, that'll be a hefsek. You shake a lulav in the middle of Hallel, that's not a hefsek. Shaking the lulav blends in with the Hallel. Oziran and the Kolatze, you are. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be accepted as the Melech, Malchius, Melech, Kol Olam Kuloi, so even Oziran and the Kolatze, even the trees will be jumping from joy. So that's why the shaking of the lulav, Tosis says in the first daf in Lulav HaGozel, Oziran and the Kolatze, they quoted Yerushalmi, I think, that shaking the lulav in the middle of the Hallel blends in with the Hallel. That's why it's not a hefsek. Otherwise, even if you're not going to talk, it's a hefsek. Give me mekayim a different mitzvah in the middle of this mitzvah, middle of the Shmona Esrei. So the idea behind Tkiya Shofar is to enhance the bakoshes, like you do on the Tanya Sibur. The Chazan adds another six brachas into the Shmona Esrei, and the below Shofar after each one of those six brachas. So on Rosh Hashanah, when you say Malchus on the Shofar, the concluding paragraph, the way we daven, concluding paragraph has the bakosha. So we want to enhance that bracha, that bakosha, so we blow shofar. What is that all about? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia, on Tisha B'Av we recite Echa. On Echa there's a pasuk. When Shlomo HaMelech, before you get to Echa, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he had a beautiful tefillah. That's recorded in Sefer Melachim and in Divrei HaYamim. There are a few discrepancies, so that's what they discuss. How come it's a slightly different version, Divrei HaYamim, from the version in Sefer Melachim? So Shlomo HaMelech, I think if I would have built the first Beis HaMikdash, I would have said, I built the Beis HaMikdash in order to bring karbonah. He doesn't say a word. By bringing Kabbalah, he said, he built the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone should come to pray. That's Shlomo HaMelech, didn't say that. That's in Navi, in Neviim is like that. But how does it say? Habiyosim al harkot shevismachtem beveis tefilosi. Beis HaMikdash is a beis tefilah. So Shlomo HaMelech, thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave me this chus that I should build a Beis HaMikdash. Everyone should come, the Jews, the Goyim, everyone should come to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's after the Beis HaMikdash is Chorev, so it says in Echa, Kam Ki Ezek LaShaveya, even if I daven, saw some tefilosi, the tefilas are not accepted. Ninalu miyam shechorev Beis HaMikdash, ninalu shari tefilah. Shari tefilah not open anymore, because the Beis HaMikdash is the office. You have to, everyone has to daven facing the Mokam HaMikdash, because the tefillahs are accepted through the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia, at the end of Perek HaZov, says, Miyom Shechor Beis HaMikdash, Nenon Lo Shari Tefillah. Tefillahs are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be accepted, Bizman Shev Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim. But then the Gemara adds on, but if you enhance the tefillah, even though Shari Tefillah, Nenon Lo Shari Demois, Lo Nenon Lo. If it's really a serious issue that you're davening about, and you daven with tears, means with sincerity, you elevate the level of the tefillah, the level of tzaoka, then shari demos lenin alu, then the tefillahs will be accepted. So the Gemara says, blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, says in the Chumash, Yom Teruah Yelachem. And the Gemara quotes Unkelus. It's very unusual that the Gemara quotes Unkelus. More hardly ever quotes. And what does Yabava mean? To sob and to cry. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Shiras Dvorah. that Sisra Basastama Yovin Sarsva Melech Aram, and he was always successful in battle. And this time he didn't come home, so the mother was sobbing. She was standing by the window and crying her heart out. What happened? Why did my son not come home? She raised him to be a big warrior to kill all the Jews, like the Arabs raised their children to kill all the Jews. So they were trying to calm her down. The other women were trying to calm her down. No, probably so victorious. He's probably going to come home with more loot than he ever came home with. So the Gemara says that the tkiya, you have to blow tkiya, trua, tkiya. And what does the word trua mean? Yababa has to sound like crying. And there are three different shittas in the Tanoim, whether it should sound like trua or shvarim trua. To say trua shvarim doesn't make sense. People don't cry like that. But some people cry like shvarim. Some people cry like trua. Some people cry like shvarim trua. So we should elevate the level of the bakasha. It should be some a tefillah. Share tefillah ninalo. And a Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. The tefillahs are very important. So we want to elevate the level of the tefillah. Should be tefillah sheyeshima demois. So you have to blow shofar. It should sound like a person who's crying. We should daven with extreme sincerity. Some people can just turn on the faucet and start crying over nothing. No, but you have to cry over because the serious malchus shofar, the serious things. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan Zak. That's what Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says. He put in malchus in Atah Kodesh in Kedushas Hashem, but it's Gimel Rishonis then. So Gimel Rishonis not supposed to add on any bakoshes. So then the third unit you don't say. You only say the first unit. We make a declaration of the principle of faith that we believe in the theme of malchus. And we say, but then we don't say the third part. So really you don't blow shofar. The whole idea of the tkiya shofar after malchus is to enhance the bakosha. Well, we don't have any bakosha there. We have a bakosha at the end of the next bracha. That's going to be the bakosha that we say on every yontif. Can we say no? You don't say Ritzei B'Nuchoseinu. You only say Ritzei B'Nuchoseinu what's Chali is B'Shabbos. But if it's B'chol, you don't say. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says you blow after Kedushas Hayom, but you're not going to blow Shofar after Malchus. So the Mishnah records the Machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and the Chachamim. It doesn't quote the third sheet of Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's in the Braisa. The Braisa quotes that, and that hardly anybody ever daven like that. The Yerushalmi just says in the Galil, for many generations, the meaning was like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael, the majority of Eretz Yisrael followed Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, so he says, if you're going to put Malchus together with Kedushas Hashem, and you're not going to say the Bakosh at the end, and that's why you're not going to be blowing Shofar, Amena Tokeya, so Loma Humaske, why does he bother to say a tenth Pasuk? Let it be enough with nine psukim. Why? Because the nine psukim is to prove the point. The first part of Malchus Chana Shofar is, each one of them, the first part, is a statement of the principle of faith, what we believe in. So these are the three Ikori Amuna, Malchus Chana Shofar. Then we say, the tenth pasuk is to be Mechazek, the Bakoshe, please fulfill what you promised. You promised in the Chumash that there's going to be such a thing as Malchus. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, you don't have the Bakosha when you're saying Malchus together with Kedushas Hashem. So why should you say the 10th Pasuk? That was the argument. Interesting. They pointed out that Rav Hutner has this pshat in his Sefer also, Pachad Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah. So some of the students were thinking. There was a while that they were both in University of Berlin. They were talking and learning together. Rav Soloveitchik went to university. His mother thought that he won't be able to influence the public. The public will be college educated. And if he won't have a college education, he won't speak the same language. He won't be able to influence them. So she thought that it's a good idea he should go to university. His father said, okay. He went to university. So at the time he went to the university, Rabbi Huttman was there also, and they were talking along. Rabbi Huttman was then writing his sefer, Torah HaNozir. He was telling over Rabbi Soloveitchik different ideas. Rabbi Soloveitchik often disagreed with him. So Rabbi Soloveitchik's parents, soon after he went to university in Berlin, so his parents moved to America. So he was corresponding with his father. So every time he wrote him, Rabbi Huttman said this, and I disagreed. So, of course, his father always agrees with him. He didn't agree with Rabbi Huttman. So the boys were suggesting maybe this is a topic that they both worked on together, whatever. Whatever it is, it's an interesting shot. Otherwise, you don't understand the Mishnah. Why do Rabbi Akiva say, since you're not blowing shofar after Malchias, because you're including Malchias and Gimel Rishonis, and you're not supposed to have any Bakoshes, not supposed to have any Trinis, not allowed to add Tachnunim in the Gimel Rishonis. So why does he bother to say the 10th Pasuk? On Hent and on Feast? What's the connection between not blowing shofar and the 10th Pasuk? That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik explained. There's a famous Machloikis Rashi in the Ramban regarding Malchus, Tuchanus, and Shofars. The Gemara has, in the end of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara learns that from Psukim, the way it's usually assumed, there's another opinion, but the way it's usually assumed that you have to blow Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah three times. We're not sure what's the correct form of Trua, whether it's what we call Shvarma, what we call Trua, what we call Shvarim Trua. So Rabbi Bo made a takana when he lived in the city Kisrin, and there it saw that you blow all the three possibilities. You blow Tekiah, Shvarim, Trua, Tekiah three times, Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah three times, Tekiah, Shvarim, Tekiah three times. So Rashi comments on the Mishnah, why do you blow Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah three times? The Gemara learned it out from a Pasuk. What is the Pasuk telling me? One for Malchus, one for Zechonis, one for Shofars. Rashi is explaining a din deraisa, that you blow Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah three times, one for Malchus, one for Zechonis, one for Shofars, based on the assumption that Malchus and Shofars is a din deraisa. So the Ramban HaChumash picks up on that. Ramban doesn't quote the Rashi on the Gemara, who's very explicit. Rashi on Chumash quotes the comments that the Tanoi made. Where do you know from the Chumash you have to mention Malchus? Where do you know you have to mention Zechonis? And where do you know you have to mention Shofar? So Rashi quotes on Chumash. It was only an Asmachtam of the Rabbanon, and the whole idea of Malchus and Shofar is only with Rabbanon. So why should Rashi quote an Chumash and Asmachta? Rashi quotes on Chumash. Sometimes he writes, a lot of times he writes Pshuto Shal Mikra, and very often he writes the drushas of the Torah Shabbat Peh. But to quote a din de Rabbanon that only has an asmachta and a posik, to quote an asmachta and Pirish Rashi on the Torah doesn't make sense. So the Ramban in Parshas Emor in his commentary on Chumash, he says he gets the impression from Rashi that Rashi thinks that Malchus on Shofar is a din de Raisa. So he says it can't be, it's against the Beferish Gemara. The Gemara at the end, the last Amud Beis in Maseches Rosh Hashanah ends on an Amud Aleph. Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, something like that. So the last Amud Beis, before the very last daf in the Gemara, so the Gemara has a brisa. If there are two, the fellow lives in a village where there's neither a shofar nor a machzer. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, if he stays home, he's not going to hear Malchus van Shofar. He's not going to hear Shofar. Not going to have to hear Shofar. He doesn't have enough money to fly to New York or to fly to Toronto. To fly to a community where they're going to have both a Shofar and a Machzor, don't have everything. He has only enough money to go either to a city where they have a Shofar, where there's no Machzor, so he'll hear to hear Shofar, but he won't have Malchus van Shofar. Or the other city has a Machzor, but it doesn't have a Shofar. So the Brisa says he should use the money to go to the city with his shofar, and he'll lose out. He won't have Malchus Chan Shofar that year. So Gemara said, Pshita, what do you need a Brisa to tell you that din? That if that's the toss-up, you should choose to go to the city where they have shofar. So Chadova Posha, the Gemara says, Tekiah shofar is a din deraisa. Malchus Chan Shofar is only a din midirabbanan. So of course, if you have a choice, you can only do one or the other, so you should choose a vacharta v'chaim in Parshat Nitzavim. You should choose the one that's deraisa over the one that's derabbanan. Isn't that obvious? We need a braisa to tell you that. Mor says, no, the Brisa tells me a bigger chiddush than that. Brisa is telling me, in one community, they have a machzer and they don't have a shofar. We know for a fact. He doesn't have a cell phone. He doesn't have emails. He can't call them up to ask him what they have. What he heard that in one community, they have a machzer, they don't have a shofar. So if he blows in all of his money to go to that community, he doesn't have enough money to go to a city that has both. So if he's going to use all of his money to go to the city where they have a machzer, they don't have a shofar, so he knows he'll hear a machzer and a shofar, and he knows he won't have a shofar. And the other community heard that there's no machzer, and there may or may not be a shofar. There may or may not be. So it may be that there's neither machzer nor a shofar. He may come out at the end, kerech mizeh v'kerech mizeh, nishken tkiyas and nishken machzer chan a shofar. So the Gemara interpreted that's what the Brisa means. He should choose if these are the two alternatives. He doesn't have enough money to go to a bigger city where they're going to have both the machzer with malchus and a shofar and the tkiyas shofar. He's either going to have machzer without a shofar, or he may have neither. He may possibly have a shofar, but it may be that he won't have a shofar. It may turn out that he has neither shofar nor malchus and a shofar. So that's what the Brisa means to say. It's preferable to put all of your money to go to the city where there may or may not be a shofar. A sofik, maybe there'll be a shofar, and there's no machzer. That possibility, maybe there will be a shofar, outweighs the vadai of having a machzer and not having a shofar. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That halacha quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So the Ramban quotes that Gemara Rabban Chumash in Parshas Emor. Quotes that Gemara, the Malchus Chaneshev is only made the Rabban. The Gemara of the Fair is only made the Rabban. So how can Rashi imply that it's the Rice? Rashi HaChumish is interpreting the Psukim. So usually Rashi HaChumish tells you either Pshuto Shal Mikra, Zayna Mikra, Yetzimidei Pshuto. Pshuto is always MS. Or he'll quote Roshes of the Torah Shabbal Peh, which is not the Pshuto. But he's not going to write a Din the Rabban that only has an Asmachna and a Pasuk HaChumish. He's not going to quote that and the Pirish Al HaTorah. If it's only an asmachta. So that's what the Ramban tainus against Rashi. Why does Rashi quote? Rashi sounds like he holds the Malchus when Shabbos is the Raisa. So before Rashi Gemara, that it's only Medirabban. So every year, Rab Soloveitchik would say over when the Sefer Yom Trua. I think Asfarish Tamachochem, who I think was a contemporary Rabbi Yosef Karo, has a sefer that everybody calls the Kapas Tamarim. Kapas Tamarim is one third of the sefer on Maseches Sukkah. Then one third of the sefer is on Yuma. It's only on the last perek in Yuma. It's called Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And the other part in the sefer is called Yom Trua. It's a commentary on Maseches Rosh Hashanah. So in the sefer Yom Trua, he comes to defend Rashi. He says that Rashi seems to hold that Malchus Rosh Hashanah is a din deraisa. Aye, but it's against the Gemara. So he answers, it's not against the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you don't have a shofar, then Malchus Chan Shofar is only the Rabbanan. If you do have a shofar, then the Malchus Chan Shofar becomes the Raisa. Why? Because the purpose of the shofar is to elevate the Bakosha to from the level of a tefillah, to the level of tefillah sheishima demois, that it should be on the level, not of a tefillah, but of zo'aka, stronger than tefillah, real zo'aka be'ez tzara. So when you have if you have a community that has a shofar, so then reciting Malchus Chan Shofar says deraisa, that's the bakasha that you should say. You should say the bakasha and enhance it with the tekiyah shofar. But if you don't have a shofar, then the bakasha that you're saying are only made the rabbonim. That's what Rashi seems to hold. That's the Taina. The Rav Haigon was bothered with a very strong kasha. How can it be that nobody remembers how they blew shofar last year? They're not sure whether it's trua or shvarim trua. Nobody remembers from last year. How can that be? Same kasha. How can it be a machlis abinatam and Rashi? Whether what seder the parsha should be in. Nobody remembers what they do until the Tanoim discussed it. How did they lay tefillin until then? No one remembers how to lay tefillin. And they didn't put on tefillin every single day of the year. So the Torah Shlema, Rabbi Mendel Kasher, writes a suggestion that maybe Minat Torah, there is no specific Seder for the Dalet Parshas and Tefillin. Maybe the whole thing is only a Takana de Rabbanim. When they first made the Takana, it was unclear which direction the Takana was. Whether it should be the Seder of Rashi, the Seder of Abinatam. Could be. It could be. It's only a Din de Rabbanim, and then the Machlokes came up in the very outset. There were always two traditions. It didn't begin with the Abinatam. Didn't begin. For years before, they had the Mordechai quotes that they found Tefillin in the Kever of Yecheskel HaNovi. So some of the Rishonim, during the lifetime of the Rishonim, said, does not indicate that the Rabbein Tam's Tefillin are correct. They already had Tefillin the Rabbein Tam during the lifetime of the Yecheskel HaNovi. So the Rishonim say, no, maybe they put it in the Kever because it was possible. So if you have Pasul or Tefillin, you have to be Goynes it. You put it in shame. So that's why maybe they buried it. You have to know how to interpret the archaeology. Archaeology is good to bring a raya, but you have to know how to interpret the archaeology. Maybe there were Pasul or Tefillin who says they were kosher. Okay. So that is a pella, though. It is a pella. So there's a famous comment that the Ron quotes from Rav Haiglin. Rav Haiglin says, there never was a machloikis, which is the correct form of trua, whether shvarim or shvarim trua or trua. The answer is all three forms of yabova are acceptable. Some people cry like trua, some people cry like shvarim, some people cry like shvarim trua. So any one of those is good. So why did Rabbi Abom make a takone and insist that you should blow each one three times, tashrat three times, and tarat three times, and tashat three times? He felt bad. Each community thought, we have a tradition, we're blowing shofar correctly, and the others are amaratzim. They know how to blow shofar. They're not being yotzei the mitzvah. So he felt that that's not right, that Klal Yisrael should have such an attitude. We're the only ones that are doing it right. The others are not being yotzei. Truth of the matter, everyone was yotzei because all of these forms are acceptable to give shofar. That's what they quote from Rav Haiglin. But the Tosfos clearly doesn't hold like that. Tosfos holds beferish, and many Rishonim say beferish. Not true. That it was a real sfeika d'yema. What's the correct way to blow shofar? So that's a pella. How can it be a machlokes? What's the correct way? No one is alive who remembers how we blew shofar last year. So that's what the Ramban comes to defend. So he says, when we blow shofar, after malchus going to shofar is to enhance the bracha. That's similar to blowing shofar on a tiny sibur in Chazoras Hashatz at the conclusion of the six additional brachas. So that kir shofar to elevate the level of the tefillah sheyeshima demois, that's acceptable. The Rav Haiglin is right there. That kir shofar to enhance the bakosha, that's acceptable. Any one of the three forms is good. The Gemara Sofik was, you're not going to blow shofar. I'll say the habrachas in the middle of the Chazoras Hashatz. A yochid. The Gemara says he only blows shofar in the middle of Shemona Esrei, in the middle of Chazoras Hashatz, if you're davening b'tzibur. Davening b'yochid, you know. It's an interesting Gemara. That's a question whether Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas is the Raisa de Rabbanan. Rashi sounds like he holds that Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas is a din de Raisa. Rashi said the reason why you need three times Tkiyah, true Tkiyah, is because one for Malchus, one for Zechronis, one for Shofar. So Rashi sounds like number one, Malchus Zechronis Shofar is the Raisa, and number two, Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas is a din de Raisa. That's why the din de Raisa, you have to blow Shofar three times. Once at the end of Malchus, once at the end of Zechonis, once at the end of Shabbat. Rashi sounds like it's the whole thing is a din derais. That's why Minat Torah, you have to have three different possibilities. So that's what the Ramban writes. He says, the Tkiya Shofar, al Seder HaBrachas, is like the Tkiya Chatzotzis in the Chazoras Hashatz on the Tanis Sibor, and that the Rav Haiglin is right. That any form is acceptable. Tkiya shvarim tkiya, tkiya trua tkiya, tkiya shvarim trua tkiya. Any form is acceptable. The Gemara had a machlokes hatanaim. If a yochid is blowing shofar, not al Seder HaBrachas. He only blow al Seder HaBrachas if it's Betzibur. Yochad is blowing that he doesn't blow al Seder HaBrachas. So maybe then there's a specific way from the three forms, maybe you only blow one of them. Because maybe when you're blowing al Seder HaBrachas, like Anatayna Sibur, and on Rosh Hashanah, after Malchus Levana Shofas, it's to enhance the Bakasha. So then any form of the sound of crying is acceptable. But if it's a tkir shofar, it's a mitzvah b'fnei asma, not to enhance the davening, it's not al seder habrachas. So then maybe the correct sound is like a coronation. Maybe not. That doesn't have to sound dafka like a crying sound. So that was the Gemara Shaila. There was three shittas in a Tanoim, which is the correct form of tkir shofar. When it's not al seder habrachas, but whenever it's al seder habrachas, then there's no shaila. That all three are acceptable. Rab Soloveitchik said over the name Rab Chaim something very interesting. The Rambam never takes a stand on the machlokes hatanoim. Where do you put malchias? Whether you put it with kedushas Hashem or the kedushas Hayayim? Or you put it together with Zechronis. And the Nusach HaTfila, he has it. So Rab Chaim, that's Rab Soloveitchik, quoted B'Shem Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim thought that B'dievet, if you say, like Rab Dechen Ben Uri, and put Malchias together with Atakot, B'dievet, you'll be Yotze. Or if you do like Rab Shimon Megamliel, that you put Kedushas Hayom together with Zechronis, the middle of Bracha, B'dievet, that'll be good. It's just a... It depends on the Nusach HaTfila. All three are, any one of the three shittas is acceptable. Just the question, which is the correct Nusach HaTfila? That's an interesting suggestion. Because the Rama never wrote it in the Halachas, he just writes it in the Nusach HaTfila, it's part of Nusach. So if you mishan the Nusach a little bit, it's Nishgefela. That was a very unusual Chiddush. The Gemara says that Ezra made a takana. Ezra made 10 takanas. That's Gemara, the end of Perek Merube, the 7th Perek in Bava Kama. So one of the takanas was, you should learn the Techachem B'chukosai the second Shabbos before Shavuos. You should learn the Techache and Kisavai the second Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, the penultimate Shabbos. Second Shabbos before you get to Rosh Hashanah. Why? So the Gemara gives a reason. But everyone assumes that you want to talk about the brachas of klolus. So you want tich l'shani v'kilosah, toch l'shani v'chaseh. I don't know how this fits into the Gemara. People usually say because there was a krisis bris that made at Har Sinai. That was on the occasion of Maimon Har Sinai and Shavuos. Then there was a krisis bris and Aris Mayov. And that was the second Chris's Bris. And it says in the Chumash, Ele Debir Beis HaShakor HaShem Mene Yisrael, Aris Mayov, Melvada Beis HaShakor Yisitam B'chorev, over and above the first Chris's Bris. Why was there a need for a second Chris's Bris? We made an agreement. We already made an agreement with the Rabban Shalom. We're going to observe the mitzvah. He's going to give schar. And if you do Averis, he's going to give an oinish. That's the deal that we made. So already made a bris in Har Sinai. That's the Techecha in B'chukosai. Why was there a need for a second bris? So the Pasuk again says why. In the beginning of Nitzavim that we read this morning. Lo yitchem levatchem enoche karbisas habris azos asal azos kimas asher yeshtam pavas asher imanem po imanu hayoim. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Shavuos. Esar shayinane po the doros vasidim lovoi. We live many generations after Moshe Rabbeinu, why are we obligated to observe all the mitzvahs? Not because of the Bris at Har Sinai. Bris at Har Sinai was only made with the Yechidim who were present at that time. The Gemara says in Shabbos, all the Neshamas were there, that all the Neshamas are going to be born. But you don't make a Bris with Neshamas, you make a Bris with people. So the people who were there was only the Dor HaMidbar. The future generations were not there. So if there would only be the Bris and in Sinai, whoever would be born at a later time would not be mechuyev to observe the bris. So that's why there was a need for the second bris. The Doros HaSidim, Doros HaBoim. And how come the second bris was binding, even the Doros HaBoim? Why wasn't the first bris binding? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, the first bris was made with Yechidim. It's interesting, the Sifron and the Sifrei say that Usfartem Lachem by Sfiras HaOmer is written twice in the Chumash, in Parshas Emor and in Parshas Re'eh. So when it says Shibishavos Tisbaloch in the singular, that would sound like it's a Chiyav on Klal Yisrael. Let the Bez Nagarim count Sfir on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, because it's Balosh and Yochid. Usfartem Lachem in plural means Sfir Lachal Echad V'Yachad. It's a Chavis HaYochid. Each individual person is B'chui. So the Vilna Gaon extrapolates from that Sifro and Sifrei that whenever you have a Parsha in the Chumash that appears twice, once in the singular, once in the plural, so the singular means that it's a Chavis HaTzibur. Tzibur has to do this, and the plural means Lachal Echad V'Yachad. Each individual person has to do that. So the Teucheche in the Chukosa, everything is written Beloshan Rabim, because it wasn't the bris that was made with the Tzibur. It's bris with the Meib, with all of the Yechin. There was no Tzibur before they entered Eretz Yisrael. You can't have a nation if you don't have a national homeland. So they only had the national homeland after they entered Eretz Yisrael. And then once they became an Eretz Yisrael, there are dinim that only apply to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam says, why is this? Avnei Nezer quotes all these Rambams. So the Rambam has in the Pirush HaMishnayos in one place, and in some place he has in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, some place it's in the Mishnah Torah. There's certain mitzvahs that only apply in Eretz Yisrael because the mitzvahs on Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael only applies to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So before we came into Eretz Yisrael, you can't make a bris with the Tzibur. And the Teuchachem in Kisavai is written Beloshen Yochid, not Beloshen Tzibur. So that was a bris that was made with the Tzibur. So all the Doros HaBoim are also included. And so so that bris could have only been made after they crossed over the Yarden and they had a national homeland. So then you say there's a nation, there's Am Yisrael. Al-Pidin, Am Yisrael is the only nation that has Mikam Chesol Ge'echad Baretz. We're the only nation that has the status of a Goy, of an Am. The other nations are really Mishpachos Svadama. They're not really a nation. A nation is one unit. Mishpachos Svadama means it's a relationship, uncles and aunts and cousins and so on, and there's a relationship. But it's not the same as a Goy. Goy is Meloshin Gviyah, Gevi Nasati Lamakim. A Goy means one Gviyah, as if the whole nation is one body. So before they entered Eretz Yisrael, they weren't yet a Goy. So the Rebbeinu Shlalom wanted that the bris with the Tzibur should be made by the Adon Hanavim, should be made with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So it has to be made with Yeshua ben Nun. So the Rebbeinu Shlalom wanted Moshe Rabbeinu, is the greatest Navi. He wanted him to be the supervisor of the bris. But it doesn't make sense to have the bris till after you go into Eretz Yisrael, because he wanted to be with the nation of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to begin the Krisis bris, but it was only completed Moshav Yisrael HaYarden. The pasuk says at the end of the Kriya this morning, so the Gemara says that there were 11 Nekudas and the words Lonol V'nein Adoylam to imply that even the Niglos, Kol Yisrael HaRabim Zabezah, didn't begin right away when Moshe Rabbeinu said it in Ar Yismael. It only began after Nichnasu La'aretz, after the Bris HaGrizim HaRevim. So Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to begin the Bris, and Yeshua ben Nun was a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu, he completed it. Because the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted Moshe Rabbeinu, Adon Hanavim, to be involved. But it had to be made in Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't come over into Eretz Yisrael. Vikum tekatsi b'devasa. It's a Yiddish expression. So Moshe Rabbeinu began to make the bris. Yeshua ben Nun, his Talmud, completed it. But the bris was only completed. The bris was only chal kol yisrael HaRabim Zeh B'Zeh. Didn't take effect right away. during the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, only took effect after the bris and Hagris and Maharevim. So that's the pshat and the parsha. The Doris Habayim, we today are obligated to observe the mitzvahs because of the second, third bris, because of the bris and Aris Moya, which was completed by Yeshua ben Nun at Hagrizim and Harevel. Okay. Belineta, next week we should all have a Ksivu Vachsim et Toiv on Rosh Hashanah. Then the week after we'll discuss and Yoni Yom Kippur. Belineta. Okay.
A Ksivu Vachsim et Toiv.
Good job. Amen. A good year.
Good Kibbentra.
A Ksivu Tova, Rabbi.
Amen. Amen.
A good Kibbentra.
A Ksivu to everybody. A good Kibbentra.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to everybody.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I know the Rebbe said years ago already that they should start the niggun after before Shema Yisrael Hashemok and Hashem Echad at the end of Malchus. What I didn't understand is why he didn't say that they do the niggun before. After Omeyad Timach B'chavod, because all, and I've told the first thing to a number of Shlichei Tzibur over the years, but it would make sense. It seems to be that the Niggun before should not be before the word V'nemar, because that's the second Pasuk. It should be the Omeyad Timach B'chavod at the end of the first part of Aleinu. And then it goes on to the nine psukim. So why do they do the niggun? Why should they do the niggun in the middle between the first and the second pasuk?
I don't know. Rav Soloveitchik thought we should sing the niggun in between the ninth pasuk and the tenth pasuk, and then not pause. We shouldn't pause between the tenth pasuk right. And the Elokeinu Keves Einu. Because that pasuk belongs to the bakasha. The bakasha is, please fulfill the promise that you made. You told us that Rashi writes on Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad, Hashem who is now Elokein, only the day will come that he will be Hashem Echad. So that's the promise that there's going to be in the future, there will be an idea of Malchius. So we want to enhance the bakasha by invoking the pasuk, so we shouldn't have you shouldn't have any negunim in between the mentioning of the tenth pasuk and the bakasha. So if you want to have a place to pause, it should be between the ninth pasuk and the tenth. Tenth should be linked together with the bakasha.
Yeah. No, I finish you up.
Just remind you to
the way they do the pause, they do the niggun between the first and the second, though. They do a niggun between the first and the second. So that niggun should be before the first.
Okay. Yeah.
They do it after Hashem Yimolka Olam Vaed, which is the first place, before Benema. So it would make sense that that... Can you hear? They do the niggun between the first and the second instead of putting the first three together.
I didn't hear any. There was so much noise.
I think now it's okay. The Chazan do the niggun between the first and the second pasuk. Hashem Yimocha Olam Vaed, then the niggun, and then v'nemar. Whereas the niggun should be Ula'o Me'at Timoch B'chavod. Stop, and then Kakasav B'sor HaSecha, and you do all nine. But almost nobody does it that way, unless I've told them to do it, but I suggested that. And also in Shofaros, why are there four psukim to sue them instead of three?
Three is a minimum. It says if you want to have more, it's about a good. Okay.
Rebbe?
I'm not triach doylem, but you can have more than three.
Rebbe, what the Rosh Hashiva said, regarding the Malchus, the Koyim and Shofas, the Machlokes, whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanon, maybe Rashi based it on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that it says that the Rabbanon Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, Im lefanai Malchus, etam lechoni aleichem. Imru Lefonai, Zechroinos, the Zecher of Yitzchok should come before night. So maybe that's how Rashi would learn that it's to the
that
right.
That is Deraisa. Yeah. That is correct. That's the Mokav of Rashi. The simple reading of the Gemara. That is Deraisa. That is correct, sure.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.